the subject of what's called the Vidui Maestras, the Vidui Maestras portion. Vidui Maestras is the confession of Maestras, of tithes. So it's a little bit more of an obscure passage that most people are not really so familiar with. And it's a mitzvah. It's one of the Taryag mitzvahs. It's a very fascinating mitzvah. It discusses the issue, the subject of taking tithes. So a summary of the tithes, a very simple summary of tithes, aside from the truma, which is given to a kohen. A kohen is, tithe is called truma. It's actually not really, the word tithe is actually not the right word for it. But for the other tithes, the different types of tithes, is Maisa Sheni, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Ani. The way those work is that the Shemitah cycle of 6 years is divided into two parts, two sets of 3 years each. And the first 2 years of each of those two parts, the first 2 years, year one and two, as well as year four and five, the Maisras, the tithes which are taken off, one's produce, is Maisa Rishon and Maisa Sheni. Maisa Rishon is what's given to the Levi, and Maisa Sheni is what's taken by the owner to Yerushalayim and eaten over there. Right? That's Maisa Sheni in the second year, in the first and second year, and the fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. If the Maisa Sheni is too heavy and too cumbersome to carry all that produce to Yerushalayim, to eat it over there, there's a halacha of pidyon, of redemption, of transferring the Kedusha from the Maisa onto money. You take the money there, you buy produce inside Yerushalayim, and you eat it there in holiness. It's part of the idea of the mitzvah of Maisa Sheni. It stimulates the opportunity for a person to go to Yerushalayim. So aside from the Shalosh Regalim, it's interesting, aside from the Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage festivals, there's also this yearly opportunity to go to Yerushalayim. It facilitates that constant connection. That's Maisa Sheni. So again, it's Maisa Rishon given to the Levi is every single year of the Shemitah cycle, all 6 years. Maisa Sheni is years 1 and 2, 3 and 4. But then year 3 and year 6, the Maisa Sheni is replaced for the Maisa Ani, the poor man's tithe, right? The Ani's tithe, the poor man's tithe, that's switched out. The Maisa Sheni switched out for the Maisa Ani in years 3 and 6. So they're the halachas, and there's many halachas, as you can imagine, about all these different tithes. That's not what this passage is about. That's the mitzvah of separating tithes and giving tithes in the proper fashion. This mitzvah over here, in Sheni, of this week's parasha, discusses like an additional dimension of this mitzvah, of these mitzvahs, and that is that the individual, the farmer, the owner, has to confess and has to testify that he fulfilled all the obligations of all these maestros in the proper fashion. And he has to make sure that all these tithes are taken care of in the fourth year, on the Erev Pesach of the fourth year. You have to make sure that all the tithes were taken care of. So if there's any surplus tithes which weren't separated, which weren't taken to Yerushalayim, which weren't given out, you have to make sure it was all given. And then on Erev Pesach, on the last day of Pesach, on the fourth year, the person has to make a declaration. It's a machlokas, I think, whether it's in the Beis Hamikdash or anywhere, but a person has to make a declaration and a confession and a testament to the fact that I fulfilled all my obligations of taking these tithes. And that's what the passage says. It says, you have to say, Omarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, you have to say before Hashem your God, Biyarti Kodesh min Abayis, I've cleared out my house of all the holy tithes. Rashi explains that refers to the Maisa Sheni. The Gam the Sat of the Levi, I've also given the tithes to the Levi, the Maisa Rishon, the Levi tithe, I've given that properly. The Lager Le Yosem, and I've given the tithes to the Ani, to the poor people as well, Lamana. Kakal Mitzvasacha Ashet Zivisani, according to all of the commandments and all of the laws that you've commanded me, I've done it in the proper procedure, the proper order. I've not mixed things around. I've done everything exactly so. That's the declaration. Now, lo avartim mitzvasach v'lo shachach. I'm going to skip over that. I'm going to come back to that one in a second. And these are all of the rules. Again, each of these topics can be spoken about independently. Again, it says, I've done everything as you've commanded me to do, as I've been commanded to do. I'm clear. I'm good. I've done everything exactly as you said, Hashem. That's the confession. Next pasuk is a tefillah. The person, after saying this, he says, Hashkifu mimon kodshecha, please Hashem, gaze down from your holy abode, from the heavens, and bless your people Israel, and the ground that you have given us, as you swore to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Right? So please give me a blessing now for everything which I've done properly. I've done it properly. Please give us a bracha. Give me a bracha. Bless me and my family. Gaze down from the heavens. So this is the passage of the Vidui Maisa. That's all part of the confession and the tefillah that the person has to make. So Rashi says on the phrase when he davens and prays to Hashem, Hashkifu ma'on kodshecha, gaze down from your holy abode and bestow blessing upon us. Rashi says, Asinu masha gazarta aleinu. We've done exactly as you've decreed upon us to do. Therefore, asay ata masha alecha lasos. Please you do what you said, what's upon you to do. We've done our part. Please do your part and give us a bracha. It's a deal. Let's make a deal, God. Right? I'll do my part. You do your part. It's a quid pro quo. Simon's smiling. I see a few people smiling, right? It sounds very funny, right? To say to Hashem that I've done my part. Okay, fine. Now, pay up. Now you do your part and give me the bracha. It's a very funny thing. It's a very strange thing. Right? It is the only place in the Torah that has such a thing. But there's another example of this, which I'm not familiar with because I'm not a Kohen, but I was alerted to this by what I read, that a Kohen, right, Kahanim, by Birkas Kahanim, make a similar tefillah and a similar expression. At the end of Birkas Kahanim, the end of the priestly blessings, the Kohanim do a silent, quiet tefillah. They say, Ribono Shel Olam, Almighty Creator this universe, Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu, we have done what you've decreed upon us to do by giving the priestly blessings to the Kehillah. Afata, so you also you, Asay Imanu, please do for us, Kamasha Hiftachtonu, what you've promised to do for us. And therefore, Hashkifa, Mema'on Kodshecha, please gaze down from your holy abode, Meneshemaim, the same wording over here, Baruch Asamucha, and please bless your people Israel. It's a similar expression. We've done our part, Hashem, please do your part. It's a very funny thing. It's not just a funny thing, it's even a problem as well, because the Gemara says, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, and says that the Sefer Nehemiah, Nehemiah is one of the later, was the later prophet, one of the last prophets. There's no Sefer Nehemiah per se. Nehemiah's prophecies are subsumed in Sefer Ezra, right? So it's the word, the actual Sefer Nehemiah, to have a special Sefer Nehemiah is not there. And the reason is, the Gemara says, the reason why there's no separate Sefer Nehemiah is because Nehemiah asked for a similar thing. The reason is because Nehemiah proclaimed, remember in my favor, oh my God, all that I did for this people. And that wasn't right for him. He's making a quid pro quo with Hashem. So because, you see that with Nehemiah, so how come over here we're seeing this? Like it's a quid pro quo. What's the answer? So the answer lies right in the Rashi right before this comment made by Rashi on the pasuk, because the pasuk says again, Hashkifa, we say, please gaze down from your holy abode from the heavens and bless your people. The pasuk right before that is the last expression of the confession of the individual, where he says, Asisi kakola shatzi visane, I've done everything that you've commanded me to do. So that's more vague what that means. So Rashi says, based upon the Mishnah, Rashi says, listen to this. He says, I've done exactly what you've told me to do with regard to all of these laws of the Maestros. Rashi says, Somachti v'simachti bo, which means, I have rejoiced and I brought rejoicing and gladdening of heart to others. I've brought gladdening of heart. I've rejoiced. I've made other people happy. And by me making other people happy, by giving all of these maestros, and I've fulfilled my obligation of giving out the tithes to the various different people, I've made other people happy. And therefore, in the zuchus of me making other people happy, please, will you make me happy as well? Make me and my family happy as well. So this actually connects back to a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. And this pasuk is in Devarim. Where is it over here? It's in Devarim 16:11. Right, 16:11. Go back a few chapters, and it's says back there that it says Samachta lifnei Hashem lekecha ata vincha uvitacha ve'avdocha ve'amosecha. It's discussing there the Yom Tovim and about the, you know, going to the Beis Hamikdash for the Yom Tovim Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, and the pasuk says go there Samachta. You know, one of the pesukim of V'samachta b'chagecha, rejoice on your yontov. The pasuk says, "Samachta l'fnei Hashem l'kecha." Be happy, you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the halevi, the levi who's in your gates, the ger, the convert, the yosin, the orphan, the widow. Everyone should rejoice there in the Beis Hamikdash on the yontov. There are actually eight people mentioned in this pasuk. If you count them up, it says, "There's you, there's your son, your daughter, Avdocha, your servant, Amosacha, your female servant, Halevi." That's six. Vager, Vayosam, and Valmona, and the there's eight in addition to the individual himself. So Rashi says, right, what are these eight people in the pasuk? Rashi says, Arba Shali, my four, Keneged Arba Shalcha, my four corresponding to your four. Who is your four? Bincha, Bitacha, Avdocha, V'amasacha. Your four is your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, meaning, Im Ata Mesamta, can't read it, Im Ata Mesamech Usam, as Shalei, if you make happy mine, if you make happy my Levi, and my ger, and my yosem, my almana, if you make happy mine, then misameach, if you misameach et shulcha, then I'll make happy yours. In other words, you make happy my people, I'll make happy you. You take care of mine, I'll take care of you. That's what Hashem is saying. So that's the promise. So that's the basis for being able to say, back to Hashem, hashkifa ma'un kodshecha, gaze down from your holy place, right? Because I've done my part, not because I've just kind of followed the rules. I've done my part in making happy your children, and I've given to them. And by giving to them, I've made them happy. Please, Hashem, reciprocate in kind. Just like you said, Ave, you promised that if I make happy other people, you'll make happy mine as well. And that's the basis. So it's not like an exactly quid pro quo. Like I've been good. I've done my job. I've done my mitzvahs, etc. There's a certain relationship. There's a reciprocity in the actual nature of the doing for Hashem, that I've not just done for Hashem, I've done exactly what He's told me to do in helping others. By helping others, please help me just like you promised before. And that's the idea. So that's the concept of bringing gladness of heart to other people and making other people happy. So that's the idea of the reciprocity, that it kind of goes, it's not just like it's a much more connected reciprocity between the two, between us helping others and bringing joy to them. And therefore, Hashem bringing joy to us. The question is, in general, you know, some people have an easier time bringing joy to other people than others. You know, it's really a function of the ability for a person to make a person happy and to be able to give to other people, and to the, you know, extent that a person has that capacity to be able to help and to give to others and bring joy and happiness to other people. So that's going to bring with it the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, you know, people have a hard time with that sometimes. We have a hard time sharing with others. We have a hard time extending ourselves and giving to other people. So there's a little bit of a clue to how to do this. Not there's many reasons for this, but there's a little bit of a clue in the very Rashi, which I just read to you before, where it says that simachti esachem, that I was happy and I rejoice with others. So Rashi says, it's actually based upon the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that I rejoiced, I had simcha, and because I had simcha, I was able to gladden other people's hearts. And that's a very, very big insight, because the ability to gladden other people depends on how happy we are ourselves. If I'm miserable, I'm not happy, and I'm kind of like just sad and depressed and fed up and frustrated, it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to bring joy to other people, aside from the fact it's just like a miserable, sad individual is just a miserable, sad individual. And it's very, very difficult to kind of, you know, they don't project joy and smiles and happiness. So therefore, that's not going to help to make a person happy. But just being in what within oneself unhappy, it also stifles the ability to give. When I'm not happy within, I'm not going to be able to give. You know, it's an interesting thing. We say, Chayecha Kodmon, your life comes first. That's a halacha. That's a principle in halacha, that your life comes first. Classic case in the Gemara of the two travelers. One has a flask of water. The other one doesn't have a flask of water. There's only enough water for both, for one to survive. Are you obligated to share it? Do you have to give it to the gift to your friend? Can you keep it for yourself? So we know the famous rule, Rabbi Akiva, Chayecha Kodmon, your life comes first. And therefore, you have an obligation to take care of yourself first in a life-threatening situation like that. Has other ramifications. I think we discussed it last week also with Ashavas Aveda, but it has many ramifications. Their own lives take care, take precedence. We have to look after ourselves first. That's a halacha, right? That's a halacha. So, you know, that mentality of looking after oneself first brings with it a certain selfishness. It all depends, though, to what extent I'm not happy with myself. Or I'm not happy with what I have. The happier I am with what I have, the more willing I'm able to be able to give to other people. But the more preoccupied with myself, trying to kind of get for myself, because I'm not happy with what I have, and I always want more and more and more, I'm dissatisfied within myself, then what happens is, Chayecha Kodmon, your own life comes first, you can't give to other people. You can't share because you're so preoccupied, unhappy with what you have, always wanting more, I'm so involved in my own world, in my own self, it's hard to kind of extend, it's hard to share, it's hard to extend myself to other people. So the key, the whole key to being able to be mesameach other people, to bring joy to other people, the key to do that is being sameach in oneself, to be sameach b'chalka, to have happiness and joy within oneself. If I'm happy and I'm satisfied and I'm full of appreciation of all that I have, then I have the capacity, I have the expansiveness of spirit to be able to gladden other people, to give to other people, to share with other people, because I have so much myself, I want to share it. But the less happy I am with what I have, and I'm always looking and striving and looking around for this and that, I'm so involved in myself, it's hard to share with other people. It's hard to mesamech other people, to bring joy to other people. So that's, you know, a little bit of an insight just based upon that Rashi. But this explains, this could explain, it gives a little bit of a clue into understanding another part of the pasuk, part of the passage, which I deliberately skipped over before. Because when I said before that the person makes a confession and he confesses that he's done everything he's supposed to have done, taking the tithes off, separating them, doing them in the right order, etc., not eating them in a state of impurity, there was one phrase which I skipped, right? And the phrase which I skipped said, Vegam lo avarti mitzvasecha, I didn't violate your mitzvahs, v'lo shachachti, and I didn't forget. And there's in this whole procedure, I didn't violate your commandments with regard to these tithes, and I didn't forget anything. So what is that referring to, right? That's not so clear. So the Gemara, Brachos 40b, explains what this is referring to. And the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Rav, Rav said, Kol bracha, she'ein ba haskaras Hashem, any bracha, any blessing we make that does not have in it haskaras Hashem, the mention of God's name. Now we're so familiar with the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Baruch Ata Hashem, so we're used to that. But when you think about it, a bracha doesn't technically need that, because if a bracha is thanking Hashem for something, I could just say, Almighty, you know, I could just say, Almighty created the universe, thank you, right? The Shem Hashem is a holy name of Hashem, it's the Yud Kei Vav Kei name. The Gemara says, you have to have that. For a bracha to qualify as a legal bracha in halacha, it requires the Yud Kei Vav Kei name inside the bracha. You need the Shem Hashem. Kol bracha she'im bo azkaras Hashem, any bracha which does not have in it the actual proper mentioning of Hashem's name, ain't a bracha, is not called a bracha. Rabbi Yochanan goes one step further and he says, Kol bracha, any bracha she'im bo malchus, that doesn't mention the word melech in it, is also not a bracha. Again, we take it for granted. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. That's the formula of a bracha. But the Gemara has explained, the source for it is this. This is the source of that concept. that you need to have both the Shem Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei name in the bracha, plus you need to have the word Melech inside the bracha as well. What's the source for it? What's the source for this? Our pasuk over here. The Gemara says, we learn this from this pasuk, because the pasuk says, it says, Lo avarti mitzvasecha, when the pasuk says, I didn't violate your mitzvahs, v'lo shechachti, and I didn't forget what? Lo avarti milavorechecha, first of all, I didn't violate from blessing you, because even in giving the maestros, giving you the tithes, you have to make a bracha, sheki deshano. So I didn't pass over that. I didn't violate that commandment to make a bracha in giving the tithes. V'lo shechachti, I also didn't forget to mention your name in the bracha. I didn't forget to mention your name in the bracha, and Rabbi Yochanan says, and also mentioning the Malchus, the Shem Malchus as well. I didn't forget to use the Yud Kei Vav Kei name and the Shem Malchus in the bracha. So the Lo Shechachti, I didn't forget, alludes to the fact you need to make sure that every bracha has in it the Shem Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei name, plus the word Melech in it as well. That's what a bracha is. And that's born out of this pasuk over here. A very, very surprising place where this comes from. But that's where it comes from. The idea of Shem Umalchus, the name of Hashem, plus the word Malchus inside the bracha, comes from this pasuk over here. Lo shechachti, I didn't forget to say the Yud Kei Vav Kei name, plus the word Melech inside a bracha. Now, why do you need to have those two elements in the bracha? Like, what's the reason for this? So the commentaries explain what the special significance. Because after all, as I said before, you could say, well, I could just say, blessed is the Almighty. In fact, the Gemara brings a story. It says, early before this, is Binyamin Raya, Binyamin the shepherd, Korach Rifta. He broke bread and he ate bread. V'oma, and he said, Barich Mare Dahai Pita. He said, blessed is the master of this bread. Right? Doesn't mention Hashem's name. Doesn't mention Malchus. Blessed is the master of this bread. And the Gemara ask, what's going on? Are you supposed to say God's name in the bracha? So the Gemara explains what he really did say that. But saying, blessed is the master of this bread, it's a very good thing. It's a very wonderful thing, but it doesn't quite cut it. You need to have Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, plus you need to have the word Melech. What's the reason why you need those extra two elements? The answer is, Reb Tzadok HaKohen and others say that when you say Baruch Hashem, right? Oh, no, sorry. When you say, blessed is the master of this bread, what you're basically doing is recognizing, right, that you're not the source of this. Saying, blessed is the Almighty of this bread. Blessed, thank God, because the word God is not really the Yud Kei Vav Kei name. It's not really capturing the essence of Hashem. Saying any of those words is stepping out of your own ego. It's getting out of your own selfishness. It's getting out of your own me, myself, and I. By saying, blessed is the Almighty of this bread, already is a madrega. It's a madrega of realizing you're not the source of everything. You're not the power. You're not the be-all and end-all of life. He says it actually corresponds to the second commandment, that there not be any other powers of other gods before you. That's the basic essence of a bracha, is recognizing there's no other power, that you're not the source and power of everything which you have. But adding in Yud Kei Vav Kei elevates it to a new madrega. There you're getting really close to Hashem. Now you're really knowing Hashem. So the saying Baruch is the master of this bread is a madrega of stepping out of yourself, out of your ego, recognizing you're not the power, but you're not really connecting intimately with Hashem. Once you say Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're really coming to know Hashem. And he says that corresponds to the first of the Ten Commandments. The Yud Kei Vav Kei, Anochi Hashem Elokech, I'm Hashem your God. So saying Hashem's name is really intimately connecting you to Hashem. What's the reason for Melech? Rav Chaim Friedlander says, because the word Melech turns the bracha into a perspective that I'm also here to serve Hashem as well. Recognizing that he's not just the source of everything, but he's the Melech, he's running the world, and I'm a servant to Hashem. Because if you just say Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamotzi Lechem in the Aretz, you're recognizing on a super duper level where it all comes from. You're out of your own ego. You're recognizing Hashem. You're connected to Hashem in the bracha, but you're not necessarily adopting the posture that I'm an eved to Hashem. I'm a servant to Hashem. By inserting the word Melech, you're adding into it, I'm also your servant. You're the Melech, and I'm the servant. So in a bracha, the bracha is so powerful. It does so much for us. It gets us out of our ego. It connects us to Hashem by using the word Yudke Vavke. And it also positions ourselves as being an avid to this Melech, who is the source of everything which we have. That's the power of a bracha. When a person makes brachas and you do it slowly, we do it slowly, appreciating. They also say that when you say the name of Hashem, you should also be looking at and concentrating on the item which you're making a bracha on. So I've got this apple in my hand, and you're saying it slowly, Baruch Atah, Yudke Vavke, right? So by saying Baruch, Baruch Atah, already you're recognizing that you're not the source of this whole thing. And now you're saying Yudke Vavke Hashem. You're really getting closer into the presence of Hashem. Melech, you're the Melech, and I'm an Eved. All of this is going inside the bracha on this apple. And you do this slowly, and you appreciate it, and you expand yourself, and you elevate yourself. It's a transformative experience. A bracha transforms the person. It transforms a person to a high level, but on the most basic level, it makes a person appreciate life. Because you can't do this fast. You can't do this mumbling it. You've got to do this with thought, with consideration, with concentration, with sensitivity. You make a bracha with all of that, you're a transformed individual. Are you unhappy with life? How can you be unhappy with life? You've got so much. You're out of yourself. You're out of yourself. You're out of your ego. You're connected to Hashem. You're recognizing the apple. You're recognizing the bread. You're recognizing the trees. You're recognizing your functioning of the body. Asheyotze, the functioning of the body. There's 100 brachas a day to make every single day. The person embraces brachas every day. It's impossible not to be happy. It's impossible. When I say embracing the brachas, saying them with kavana, with consideration, with sensitivity, with thought, with concentration, thinking about what this is, what's contained inside these words. How can a person not be happy? You can only be happy by making brachas. And if I'm happy and I'm satisfied with what I have, then I have the capacity to mesamech the people. I can give. And that's the flow of the psukim over here. That's why in the Vidui Maestros, you say I did all the obligations properly, and I made the bracha properly, and I inserted your name, Hashem, into the bracha. I said, Mela, I became so infused with joy, and I did exactly as you said. I rejoiced myself, and I gladdened other people because I was so full of joy. And therefore, in the same way that my joy has led me to giving and sharing and expanding myself and bringing joy to other people, then please fulfill your part of this, that just like you said, that if I take care of yours, you'll take care of mine. Therefore, Hashkifa Mun Kodshacha, please look down from your holy abode and give bracha to me. So that's the whole flow of the psukim over here. So the essence of it, really, it boils down to appreciation of what we have through brachas, through making blessings, so that we will be filled with joy and satisfaction and happiness in life, so that we will be able to share with other people that joy and that goodness and that gladness of spirit, so that we will all be deserving of bracha in our lives as well. Not that we should do it selfishly for that purpose, but you deserve it. We all deserve. We'll deserve to have that reciprocal bracha come down upon us when we follow through these steps. Appreciation through brachas, joy, gladdening others, and then the recipients of brachas ourselves. That's the flow of the psukim over here. I heard a story just to illustrate the power of bracha, because really the practical way to really take this idea is to take ownership on brachas in general. I've said it many times before, but to take ownership, I say take ownership to own brachas, learn the brachas, know the brachas, say the brachas, think about the brachas. Don't treat them as just silly things, as mumbling things you just mumble through under your breath. Say the brachas, and there's not that many brachas. I mean, there's a limited number of brachas. They're easy to remember. They're easy, and they're so beautiful, and they're so rich and so deep. As I've shown you a little bit of that, just the wording of the brachas, what you can get from making a bracha. There's a story. I just heard a story recently. There was a fellow in Eretz Yisrael. He was I don't think he was religious. He was a non-religious man. young guy, and he was caught for a crime that he didn't commit. It was a complete, everything was one of these situations. He was just not guilty. He did not do anything, and he was being indicted, and there was a trial, and it was and if he was going to be found guilty, he was going to be put into jail for 12 years. It was the most horrific situation, and they had a defense attorney, and they nothing seemed to kind of bring any type of resolution to it. So he went for a bracha to a famous rabbi in Yerushalayim called, his name was Rabbi Yaakov Fisher. So he goes to this rabbi, and he goes to see him, and he tells him the situation, and, you know, he asks for a bracha. So Rabbi Fisher says to him, he says, listen, I'm going to tell you something, and you have to follow exactly what I'm going to do, what I'm telling you to do. And he takes out of his drawer a candy. He said, I'm going to give you a candy, and I want you to make a bracha on this. And the fellow thought, like, you know, what's how is it going to be? It's like a treat. I'm going to make a bracha on a candy. It's a treat. I'm going to get a blessing. How's that going to work? So he says, listen, he says, take this candy. He says, on the day of the trial, he says, first of all, I'm going to teach you the bracha. And I'm going to teach you the words of the bracha. And I'm going to teach you how to say the bracha, right? This is how you have to say the bracha. Baruch atah, you are the source of all blessing. Hashem, yudke vavke, which means you were, you are, you will be. That's what Yudke Vavke means. You are eternal. You've existed forever. You're the Adon Kol, the master of everything. You Hayah Hova V'Iyah. You were, you are, you will be forever. Right? Make sure to have that in mind. Elokeinu, you are the source of all of our power. Elokeinu, you're the source of all power. Melech Olam, you're the king of the universe. You're the king of the universe. Shahakol nehiyah bidvaro, that everything comes into being by your word. Say those, and know those words, understand those words, and make that bracha on the trial. When the trial is about to end, when the judge is going to give the verdict, take out the candy and make the bracha in that fashion out loud so everyone can hear. So he said, okay. So he goes to the court, and then the trial comes, and the end of the trial comes, and he does exactly what Rabbi Fisher did. He said, and he takes the candy out, and he also told him, he said, when you make the bracha, just turn off everything, switch off the whole world, just kind of close down everything around you, focus only on those words. And the judge was about to issue the verdict, and then he took out the candy to make the bracha on it. And then the judge kind of like put down the gavel or something, and he's, listen, we have to kind of close, adjourn the case right now. And he said, there's so much confusion with this. And he said, like, the witnesses are saying different things. And he said, we have to kind of, we have to take a break. We'll come back. And he suspended the case after he made the bracha. And then they gathered together afterwards, and he said, I'm closing, the case is dismissed because there's too much confusion. There's too much kind of counter evidence. The case was closed. He was dismissed. He wasn't found guilty, right? And it was exactly when he made that bracha. It's a true story. But the point is it's the power of switching off the world inside the bracha and realizing that everything emanates from Hashem. There is nothing which exists without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And whatever you think you can do, whatever you think you're able to do by yourself, it's all garnished, all of that. We're only a vessel, we're only a conduit, we're only a channel, we're only an agent. All power comes from Hashem. All power comes from the source of existence. That's where it all comes from. Making a bracha declares that. Making a bracha shows my belief and my understanding, my appreciation of that fact that it all emanates from Hashem. And if a person makes a bracha 100 times a day, can you imagine what kind of transformation of life that can bring about to a person's day? 100 brachas a day is what the Gemara says. Make 100 brachas a day. Now, many of those brachas are inside the Shemoneh Esrei. But there are so many brachas which we can make on an apple, on a cup of coffee, on the oatmeal. Right? We learned that last week about what bracha you make on an oatmeal. Right, we said that you make mazonos, but you don't make a bracha on the raisins because it's tafel, it's secondary to the oatmeal. Right, you make them, and the hamotzi, and then the bracha for going to the bathroom. Every opportunity to make a bracha. I was yesterday with someone, right, and I ate my little kind of bar of peanut bar or something, and made a hadamar on that, then they made a bracha afterwards. And the person says, what's that I'm doing? I'm making a bracha achrona, brain nefashas, a second, an after bracha as well. The day is filled with so many opportunities like this to connect to Hashem. So it has a twofold purpose. A, it infuses us with the right hashkafa, with the right understanding of where things come from. It infuses us with a connection to Hashem. But also in the context of this discussion, it infuses us with an appreciation, right? Because if you say it slowly and you think about it, you can't not be happy. You can't not be appreciative of all the bracha. Your mind starts shifting away from what you're missing to what you have. More and more and more, you shift away from what you don't have to what you do have, because you just think about, you ponder all of the bracha I have in my life. It shifts my focus away from what's missing. Not that we don't take care of what's missing. We have to do our due diligence. But our mind, our emotions are not taken up with what's missing. Our mind and our emotions are taken up with what is, what we do have through those brachas. And then if I have joy in my life, I can give joy to other people. I can give to other people. And then the magic is, it rebounds back upon us, that now we get bracha in our lives as well. That's the end of the passage. So may we all be zocha, we should all merit to be able to appreciate what we have through making brachas, having joy in our life, to bring joy to other people, to be deserving of only bracha in our lives, especially this time now as we approach Rosh Hashanah.